we're going to continue to talk about prayer this week. And today, specifically, we want to talk about the prayer of blessing. So we have talked about a number of different things to do with prayer. We've talked about, you know, set a prayer time for yourself and, you know, get there. And then we talked about you can thank the Lord. It's a great place to start. We mentioned how you can pray scripture or even a memorized prayer if you need to get started with something. We talked about praying for others. And today I want to talk about the prayer of blessing. You see, the Lord desires to bless his children, and then he asks us to pray it, to speak that blessing. Let me read to you in Psalms 67 and verse 1. It says, God be merciful to us and bless us. Cause his face to shine upon us, Selah, or think about it, that your way may be known on the earth, your salvation among all nations. Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. Selah, think about it. Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. Then the earth shall yield or increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. You see, this was a prayer of blessing set to music, and so it would be sung, but it was a song of God blessing us. You see, God wants to bless his people, and I'll say it again, he wants us to declare it and to pray it. So if we're going to talk about blessing, you're probably like, well, we hear that word all the time. What does it actually mean? Bless you or bless us, Lord. What does that mean? You see, the word blessing has a fairly large definition. It covers a lot of bases. But a general overall definition for it would be divine favor or favor from the Lord God himself. Okay, again, that's pretty general and overall, but we're going to get more specific as we go. But just if someone's saying bless you, they're saying may God's divine favor be on you. Okay, if you tell someone bless you when you shake their hand, it's not just a greeting, you're actually saying may God's divine favor be on you. So remember that when you're praying or when you're telling people that. There's another portion of scripture where Moses was setting up the tabernacle and the priests and telling them what you need to do. And one of the things the priests were supposed to do was pray blessing over God's people. So Numbers 6 and verse 22, we read this. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons to bless the people of Israel with this special blessing. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. Whenever Aaron and his sons bless the people of Israel in my name, I myself will bless them. This is really a powerful verse, and I want you to see the importance of it. The Lord God is telling Moses to tell Aaron and his sons, bless the people. Why would God want them to speak the blessing? Because he wants to bless them, and God has set it up so that he gets involved when we invite him. And so the blessing needed to be spoken. Now again, you're wondering, well, what does blessing mean? It says, may the Lord bless you, and then it gives us some specifics. It's kind of giving you the general, and here's a specific. Bless you, protection. So the blessing involves protection. And it says, may the Lord smile on you. And there's that smile again. Did you notice in the first portion I read, it said, cause his face to shine upon you. And then now he's talking about smiling on you. And then may the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. The bless, one of its definitions is to bend or kneel down. Like a father to a child. And I want you to get this picture because it's really, really important. The prayer of blessing. May his face shine upon you. May he smile upon you. You see, there is God smiling down, and he is saying that I've got you, I'm here for you. In a sense, God himself is the blesser and the blessing. You see, he's got you. When you say God bless them, you're saying God leans in, God smiles, and God's got them. So when you're saying God bless you, God shine and smile upon you, I want you to have that picture because that's how much he loves you. He's not going to let anything hurt you. He's not going to let anything happen to you. He's going to meet your every need way beyond the basics. So God's blessing looks like that. And when we pray God's blessing on our families, we pray God's blessing on ourselves, we are saying, God, shine on me. Let your face smile upon me. And when he does, he brings a whole bunch of things with his presence. And it is amazing. One more thing about that verse that we just read that is so, so very important that I want you to get today, because we're talking about the prayer of blessing. That means you get to do something. You need to do something when it comes to the blessing. The last line, Aaron and his sons, whenever Aaron and his sons, everybody say whenever. Whenever Aaron and his sons bless in my name, I will bless them. Oh, wow. Do you realize that means you as a believer, whenever you bless something, somebody in his name, he will show up to do the blessing. Wow. Now, maybe some of you are like, yeah, but they were priests. We're not priests. Well, let me give you a little theology real quick. You see, according to the New Testament in Christ Jesus, actually, you kind of are. Let me read the verse and explain later. There's a couple. Revelation 1, verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, and then it goes into the next part, he is the faithful witness to these things. The first to rise from the dead, the ruler of all the kings of the world. All glory to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by shedding his blood for us. There's nothing to do with priests yet. I just love that verse so much I had to tell you. Okay, the next verse is the one I wanted. He has made us a kingdom of priests. For God, his Father, all glory and power to him forever and ever. He's made us a kingdom of what? Priests. Okay, let me give you one more verse while you're thinking on this. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are not like that, for you're a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. So, who are the royal priests? People who have come to Christ, been called out of darkness into his wonderful light. That's crazy good, isn't it? Now, please understand me. There's some symbolism and some wording here that he's giving you that's really important. I don't want any of you going home and thinking you have to sacrifice animals because you're a priest now, okay? That is done away with since Jesus' time. But there was a time when not everybody could just come to the presence of God and talk to him. There was a time when only the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies, right into God's presence. And there was a curtain that separated the Holy of Holies. Nobody could go beyond there but the high priest at the certain time. Guess what happened when Jesus died on the cross? The curtain, the veil, was ripped in two, meaning he made a way that anybody can now enter the Holy of Holies freely. In other words, you and I, just like the priests used to do, can now come into the presence of God and talk with him. That's the idea of who you are, which means, back to where I started on all this, you have the ability, just like a priest back in that day, to pray blessing, and God will show up and bless. Okay, so I want you to know that. I want you to realize the importance of it. What do you think would happen if God's priest just decided, I don't care, I don't want to bless these people anymore, they annoy me. And they stop declaring blessing. Would that make God happy? No, God says, I want to bless, I need you to speak. So let me ask you even now to get you thinking. When's the last time you blessed your family? When's the last time you blessed your life? When's the last time you blessed and prayed for where you work? I don't want to get too far into that right now. Let me continue. You need to understand that this blessing that God wants to pour out is something that can be poured out upon us and everything that pertains to us. Everything. Deuteronomy 28, verse 2. And I'm going to read a few verses here. This is a portion of scripture where, again, it's Old Testament with Moses. And God is saying, if you follow all these commands that I've given you, I'm going to bless you. In other words, if you obey me, I'll bless you. Verse 2 says, all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. God says, if you obey me, I will pour out blessing and it will overtake you. In other words, you're being obedient, you're going forward, and the blessing comes. As often when we talk about the blessing of God and his abundance and how he wants to overflow, sometimes people all of a sudden make this shift and all of a sudden they're chasing blessing and they're going after blessing like it's God, and they forget that's not what he said. He said, if you obey me, keep my commandments, go after me, the blessing will overtake you. So you be obedient, you focus on it, the blessing will overtake you. But there is one thing, and that's what we're talking about today, you need to do. Pray it and declare it, okay? You can't not use your words, because using your words is the first step of faith. It is the first action step that tells God you believe him, okay? And we know that faith is always involved in what God does in our lives, all right? So you remember that. If that's all you get today, your words are your first action step. Your first faith step when God says something is your words. So if I'm talking about God wants you to pray blessing and you leave today at lunch and you're like, I don't know if I believe that. Everything goes wrong for us. Wrong statement. Instead, go for lunch and be like, this is great. Lord, I thank you. You're blessing me. I thank you and pray the blessing over my family. Okay, so your words show that you believe what you've heard. Now, I got to get some more of the blessing. Let me read a little quicker. I'm not going to go through every verse this way, or we will be here till next week. Okay. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. I know right now everybody's going like, I do not own any cattle. He is just saying he will bless whatever it is that you have that brings in finance. Okay, so for us, it's a job, it's a business. Whatever you have, he says, I'll bless it, okay? Because that was their way of bringing in increase and supply. All right, let me keep going. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. There'll be groceries always. Blessed shall you be when you come in. Blessed shall you be when you go out. Wherever you are, blessing will follow you. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. This is part of the blessing. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses, in all to which you set your hand, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will command the blessing when you obey and follow what he's asking you to do. That is a strong word. When God commands something, it happens. And he will bless your storehouse. Now again, this is a farming type term. You could see it as a granary, somewhere where they kept their harvest and put it in there. He'll bless that storehouse. God says he will bless that. What does that look like for you? Well, I am hoping that everybody who is working in some sense of the matter has a retirement plan or an RSP or some type of investment beyond your daily work. And God says he will bless that. Okay. You see, these verses clearly show that the blessing or the divine favor will bring abundance in all areas of our life. So that's why sometimes when you say blessing, people just automatically think finance or abundance. It's way more than that, but it definitely includes abundance. There are actually 13 verses in Deuteronomy 28 that describe the blessing of obeying the Lord. Unfortunately, after those 13, there are 54 verses that declare the curses if you choose to disobey his word. Now, you guys were like, do we have to go there? I am not reading them, just because you would all go home depressed. I'm not reading them. You can sometime if you want. But I will say this. Why are there four times more verses about the curse than the blessing? Seems a little off balance to me. Why? You're like, Moses was trying to scare them so they'd listen? Well, it wasn't from Moses. Moses was just the mouthpiece from God. What was God doing? God was being a good father, and he was thinking of every way possible to tell you, don't do that. Here's the blessing. Don't do that. If you do that, this will happen. Any father ever done that with their kid? You don't do that. You know, if you run out on the street and don't hold dad's hand, a car could come, and if a car comes, it could just like wipe you out, crush you, you'd be dead. You're like, yeah, that's overkill. Why does dads do that? Because they don't want you to do it. And I believe our Heavenly Father is the same way. And so I believe that's why. But I want to encourage you, and I want to say something today that matters. We're talking about praying blessing and declaring blessing. But if you choose to live in sin, now listen to me carefully. If you choose to live in sin, you can declare blessing all day, and it's just as much as hot air, because your actions prove what you really believe. And unfortunately, actions of sin have terrible consequences. So I'm not giving you a magic wand today that negates the rest of the Bible or tells you, do whatever you want, just speak these words, and oh my goodness, money will flow. That's a lie. But I am telling you, you do your best to follow his word, he's going to bless you. If you make a mistake, that's not living in sin, that's a mistake. You go to him, you repent, and you ask him for wisdom and strength to do it right. But please know, you cannot live in sin. What do I mean, live in sin? That's when somebody no longer cares what they're doing, that it's wrong to God, and they just say, well, whatever, it's just my life, I'm just going to keep doing it. That's living in sin. When you no longer repent, when you no longer even ask forgiveness, you no longer really care, because it's like, oh, this is just who I am, I'm just going to do this. Don't. Well, I'm just going to drink every weekend because that's what I do. Oh boy, now we really got personal, didn't we? It's like, why does he do that? I do that because I care about you. Well, I'm single and I have different girlfriends all the time, but I'm just going to do that. Don't live in sin. Ask God what he wants for you and then go for it. And I know whenever I bring these out, there's some people on both sides. There's some that are so worried that they had a wrong thought and God hates them now. So I got to also talk to you. God never hates his kids. Just like me holding that little baby. If it has a dirty diaper, we don't throw out the baby. We don't like, this is terrible. So for you who are on that side where you think, oh, I had a wrong thought, or 5 years ago I made a mistake, God hates me. No, he doesn't. He loves you. And if you've asked him to forgive you, he's forgiven you. So get up and start declaring blessing and praying it over your life, and good things are coming. You see, we can pray this blessing on our families, our businesses, our communities. You can even pray blessing over your truck. You really can. You can pray God's favor and goodness over everything that you touch. And the blessing that you and I pray is a powerful thing. I'm going to tell you a little bit of a story just explaining it from Genesis 27. I obviously am not going to read the whole chapter, so let me just tell you that story. And some of you have been a Christian for a long time might remember this story. It's a story where Isaac is getting old. He's kind of blind, but he is going to bless his son, his oldest son, because he knows his time is short. And so he calls his oldest son, Esau, and he says, hey, can you go out hunting, you know, bring back a deer and cook it and bring me a meal, and I'm going to give you the blessing, okay? So his oldest son heads out to go hunting, and Isaac's wife tells her second son, who's her favorite apparently, Jacob, and says, hey, your father's about to give the final blessing. Why don't you make up some dinner for him? And actually, she makes it. She helps him out, gets his animal from the flock, makes an amazing meal. And Jacob's like, Mom, what are you doing? Esau's like real hairy, and I'm not. If he like touches me, he's going to know. And plus, Esau stinks from being out. I don't know if he said that. But anyways, it kind of fits. So she says, okay, we'll put goat hair on your arms. Like, this is total deception. The guy is blind and you're trying to trick him. Like, it's kind of blows my mind, really. And Jacob goes in with the food and says, I'm here. And he's basically saying, I'm Esau. I'm here with your food. You can bless me now. And his dad, Isaac, says, your voice sounds not like Esau. And the dad, being kind of smart, is like, come here. He wants him to come because he wants to feel his arms and he'll know for sure who it is. And he feels the goat hair and he's like, oh, I guess it is Esau. That must have been one hairy guy. That's all I'm saying. And he blesses Jacob with the oldest son's blessing. He's basically passing down the blessing from himself, thinking it's the oldest son. And with that blessing, with the abundance and everything else, also comes the, because you know, you're who you are, the oldest son, you will be over everybody else in the family. And he gives him that blessing. Jacob goes out. He's had that blessing. Esau shows up not long after with the food that he went and hunted, which takes longer if anybody's ever hunted. Some of you hunt, you never get anything. But anyhow, he comes back, brings the food and says, here I am, can you bless me? And Isaac's like, what? Who are you? I just gave the blessing. They realize that Jacob tricked them. And Esau, it says he actually cries to his father, well, bless me, like, what? And Isaac makes this statement. And he said, I have blessed him, and the blessing can't be taken back. I've given him that blessing over everybody, and it can't be taken back. When I think about that, and I think about God's fairness and how I'm like, what do you mean it can't be taken back? That's the most deceptive thing I've ever heard. It should be taken back because he lied. He pretended to be somebody else, and yet Isaac says it can't be taken back. I blessed, and the blessing is sure. Okay, here's the thing. We might not like that story, how that happened, but we can appreciate that when a blessing is declared, a blessing is sure. You see, God, when he shows up, you've blessed, and he shows up and does the blessing, he doesn't say, oh, I changed my mind. And you see, Isaac knew that. He had declared blessing over that son, and he knew when I declare blessing, God shows up and does the blessing in the spiritual realm, and it's done. Because when God blesses, he doesn't take it back. It's why in our scripture we read that the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. When God gives a spiritual gift, he doesn't just rip it away. It's also why someone in ministry can have some gifts and get way off track and you're like, what is going on? Why does God even let them? Because God is not, how shall we say this? God is not someone who gives and then be like, oh, I should give it back. You're not good enough. The blessings that he does are sure. So we can be glad in that even though we didn't quite like that story per se. Now I will say that Isaac does bless Esau. It's, if you want to say, maybe a lesser blessing because his brother's over him for a while, but he even says in the blessing, the day will come, will you be out from under your brother. So God wants to bless, and he won't take it back. All right. There is a story in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, and it is a story of, well, not even really a story. It's a one verse in the middle of a portion of scripture where they're giving the genealogy of people. And there's a guy named Jabez, and let me just read it. Now, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him his request. One little verse sounds so simple, and yet when you look a little deeper, it is unbelievable how good God is. You see, he's literally at the beginning praying, Lord, bless me, bless me. We talked about this is a year multiplication. He's not just saying bless me. If you read it in the original, it's bless and bless. Like double blessing, multiplied blessing. Don't just bless me a little, bless and bless. He's going after it. And so he says, bless and bless. And then he gets some specifics to the kind of blessing he wants. Remember I said blessing is that overall arch of it all, his divine favor? But he gets specific. He says, Lord, you're going to bless me. Here's some specifics of what I want that blessing to look like. The nerve of some people, I tell you. But anyways, he's telling God, enlarge my territory. For you and I, again, we don't necessarily have land that has herds and flocks, but in a way he's saying, enlarge my capacity for wealth. Enlarge my capacity for wealth. Wow, this guy, I tell you, he doesn't fool around. Then he says, and I want God's guiding hand to always be with me. His direction, his wisdom always with me. He's giving specifics to the blessing he wants. And finally, to protect from all harm, that there wouldn't be pain and I wouldn't cause pain. You're like, why did he add that? You see, Jabez's name meant suffering or pain. When he was born, his mom basically named him, you're the kid that gave me pain. You almost killed me. Like, she gives him a name that is going to be spoken over him every single day, multiple times. In our day and age, we might say that mom had issues. Why would you name your kid Pain? Or the pain causer? And every time you go, Pain, come in for dinner. Pain, what are you doing? What's wrong with you, Pain? Pain, 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 pain. That's what he heard over his life all the time. Words are powerful. For the young couples that are going to have kids soon, can I say, pray over the names you give your kids? Names mean something. You're going to be speaking it all the time. Don't just be like, oh, I want something different like nobody else has. Let's put some letters together and be like, a blah, blah. Come on. Pray over it. Let it have some meaning. His name had meaning, and it was not good meaning. And so he actually, his last part of the prayer, he is actually telling God, I want my name to be canceled, and in its place, instead, your blessing. And God grants him his request. That's a powerful thing. We know in Scripture, God actually changed some people's names because of it. It doesn't say they changed his name, but his blessing came instead of the meaning of his name. His name was canceled, and blessing took its place. I think about this in the sense of praying for our community. The community of Slave Lake, there's times I'm like, God, we should change the name of this town. It just doesn't fit. It doesn't feel right. But here's the thing. You and I can pray blessing over this town, whether the name changes or not. And we can declare his blessing and cancel out that mentality of work until you're dead for nothing and never get ahead. That's what slave means. We don't want that, do we? And so we instead can declare, Lord, bless. You know, I said that. I know there's some of you now are like, is that why, you know, both of us work nonstop in the family? How many jobs and we're not getting ahead? Maybe. Because that's not a blessing. To work and never have a break and to seem like you never get ahead is a curse. You're like, is it? Oh, it's a curse right from the beginning. It was a curse put on man for sin. But if you're a believer, you've come out from under sin. But that was the curse put on people back at the beginning. You will sweat. The sweat of your brow, you're going to just have enough, and there'll be thorns and thistles. Work wasn't the curse. He was put in the garden to work it right from the beginning. But there wasn't the thorns and thistles, and there wasn't that you're going to work until you die and no reward for it. He spent time walking in the cool of the garden. They spent time eating and enjoying one another's presence. So we want you to be blessed. I'm going to stop right there on the work thing, but I want to throw that out. Some people are like, I didn't know that. All right, let me keep going. Jabez prayed for blessing, was very specific, and God gave him exactly what he prayed for. Proverbs 11, verse 11. By the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted, but by the mouth of the wicked, it is overthrown. This one is amazing to me. By the blessing of the upright, an entire city can be lifted up, can be made prosperous simply by the blessing of you and I. Are you speaking blessing over Slave Lake? Are you declaring that Slave Lake is the best town to live in anywhere? If it's not yet, it will be if you keep speaking it. Are you praying that this is a town of abundance and overflow where people are kind to one another? This is a town that is growing and expanding. This is a town that brings light to people who come. This is a town where there are believers that care for one another and care about the surrounding areas. What are you speaking? Are you on social media? There's so many potholes in this town. I hate this stupid town. I'm going to move to Grand Prairie. I just want to give you some news. They have potholes there too. Okay? It's so easy to be negative and going in that direction, but God says, don't do that. Which brings me to my next point. Don't speak death, but instead pray blessing in life. You see, Scripture tells us this very clearly in Proverbs 18:20, from the fruit of your mouth, a person's stomach will be filled. With the harvest of your lips, You're satisfied. You see, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Your tongues have the power of life and death. What are you speaking over your relationships? Life or death? What are you speaking over the place you work? Life or death? What are you speaking over your family? Life or death? I think sometimes you don't realize the power in your words. Your kid's getting you frustrated and you're like, oh, you stupid kid. What's wrong with you? Oh, how about you're amazing? You know, there's so many things that you still have to learn, and it's going to be exciting as we learn it. You can choose the negative, or you can choose life and blessing in your words. You need to be conscious of what you're saying, because whether you like it or not, your words are seeds planted that will bear fruit. And here's the thing. When we talk about blessing, sometimes people are like, well, I don't see anything negative about my spouse or my family. But if you spend 60% of your conversation being negative about others, your community, you're still planting seeds and you're still going to eat fruit from your mouth. It's not just about what you say for you. If you're always running everybody else down and everything else down, that's seeds, that's fruit that's coming back to you. This has dropped my spirit, so I'm going to say it. It's a picture for young ladies. Young ladies, you don't become more popular by running down other young ladies. If you're like, oh, they just like think they're so wonderful, and you know they're trying to get all the guys' attention, and whatever girls do. I do have teenagers, and I had a lot of girls, but I don't know everything they talk about. But if you do that, you will get the fruit. Oh, they're so horrible. They don't have any friends. They don't need seeds. Those seeds come back to you. What about instead, if you're finding positive things to say about every other young lady and you're praying for them, that the issues and the things that are happening in their life, that God would bless them? What about that? Lord, I pray blessing over that young lady that doesn't seem to like me. I pray blessing over each of them. And you start declaring things, and when that thought comes, oh, I'm going to run them down. They're so fake. Don't say it. Instead, declare something good, because every time you do, you're planting seed that's going to come back that you get to eat. And I'll tell you what, if you don't like turnips, don't plant turnip seeds, okay? Plant the things you want to eat, like strawberries. I don't know, that's one of my favorites. Plant good things, cherries and apples and peaches. I must be hungry for fruit. Anyhow, plant good seeds, okay? Mark 11:23, Jesus answered, have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you've received it, and it will be yours. Again, we're talking about how powerful the things you say are. And so the things you say are this powerful, you're going to want to speak well. In the Psalms, there's a verse where David said, Lord, put a guard over my mouth. Isn't that crazy? Let the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Why did he say that? Because he had a revelation that, oh my goodness, the thoughts of my heart and the words of my mouth are where everything begins. And David had messed up pretty bad. But he asked God to forgive him, and he had a revelation. It begins in here and here. Choose words wisely. Running down another business doesn't make yours better. It plants seeds for the same thing to come back. Running down another couple doesn't make your relationship better. Running down another family doesn't make your family better. It actually plants seeds for that to come back on you. Bless and bless and bless and bless and bless. Scripture tells us that blessing and cursing shouldn't come from the same mouth. You can't do one and then switch and do the other. In other words, he's telling us, train your mouth to speak truth and to speak life, because it shouldn't have both. You can't have sweet and bitter water from the same fountain. You don't get figs and olives from the same bush. Why is your mouth as if it's from two different trees? When you catch yourself starting to be negative and run somebody down, just shut it up, okay? Just like quiet. Who thinks they can do that? Because if you're not sure and you have a spouse, tell them to tell you when. No, probably shouldn't do that. But hey, you can ask somebody to help you be accountable. You really can. If you have somebody that you trust, that they love you, you can ask them to help you be accountable. And actually say, hey, if I'm getting really negative and don't realize it, can you like do something that just helps me know? You know, whether it's the little elbow, or whatever you're cute, whatever you want, and it will really make a difference. You'll realize, oh, I didn't know I was being negative that often. And you'll begin to change what you say. When you change what you say, you end up changing your surroundings. Enough of that. I've said that a couple times. Let me get to my last point as we begin to wrap up. The blessings that God wants to give you and I, according to Scripture, those blessings are all available through Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1 and verse 3 says this, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ." Every blessing, none left out. Every blessing in the spiritual realm, yours and mine, when we are united with Christ. They're all available. They are all available. Let me say that again. Every spiritual blessing is available when you have accepted Christ as your Savior. But we don't all walk in them. They're available. It's like shelves with everything you need, but sometimes people didn't know it was available, and sometimes people didn't realize, well, how do I receive it? It's available in Christ. Now, you and I are just asked to pray those blessings on the situations, on the people, on our lives. It's all available. They all come through Jesus Christ and being united with Him, which, of course, brings me to my final part that you know that I'm going to share again, and it's this. Have you been united with Christ? Have you asked Him to forgive you and come into your life? Have you said, Lord, I'll follow You? You see, all those blessings and everything that He has made available, He brought it to us when He hung on that cross. He shed His blood, our sins put upon Him. He shed His blood for you and I. And He died on that cross for you and I. And He said, this gift of new life, this gift of eternal life in Me. He said, you simply need to receive it. And Romans 10 tells us really clearly, if you believe in your heart that Jesus died for you, that He rose again, if you truly believe that, then all you need to do is use words. And so today we're going to take opportunity in case there's someone here that has not yet done this. You're like, I know God is real. I believe it. Then I want you to repeat this little prayer after me. I'm going to ask everybody to join in. This is just an opportunity to use words. The prayer has no power, but if you're believing, use words. And so we're going to do that today. I'm going to ask all of you to repeat this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe You died for me. I ask You to forgive me of all my sin. I choose today to follow You. In Jesus' name, amen. Give God praise for that. It's good.